And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Special one here today, Wednesday. I know we bumped it up a day. Got the President's Cup going on. Hopefully you listened to that show yesterday with my man, Keith Stewart, who is on site in Montreal. Should be exciting. I think the international team has, I think they have a chance, folks. I think they have a chance to pull off the upset. We'll see. Two of the guys in the field, Adam Scott, Ben Ahn, they've got something in common. They both use a lab golf putter, and you know how I feel about those putters. I've been testing them myself here in the studio and absolutely loving them. I love the conventional putter, but I got to tell you, I really love the broomstick as well, and I've actually taken it out on the golf course. I've been making more putts, enjoying it. And having a lot of conversation with all of you. Appreciate you all kind of, you know, reaching out to me, asking questions about this technology, about these putters. And we're going to shed more light on it here today because we've got the man that designed them, the CEO of Lab Golf, joining me here today. Sam Ahn, how you doing, man?
I'm great. I was doing only okay, and then I heard your intro music to your podcast, and I'm in a great mood now. That's some funky stuff.
It is. It's kind of catchy, you know.
I mean, back in a... In a former life, I was a musician, and that was like exactly the kind of stuff that my band did.
Cool. Yeah, it's kind of catchy. Yeah. We went through a lot of different ones. You know, my guest on Tuesday, Keith Stewart, he's kind of all things gambling and golf, and he's fantastic. And he's always dancing. He's like, man, I love that intro. It's awesome. He's always dancing before we come on. I appreciate you joining me, man. I know you're busy, and it's been fun getting to know you. It's been fun spending time with your putters. And you know, you deserve all the success and or all the credit here for, you know, how well these putters are doing. And the first time I can remember when I heard Lab Golf, was, you know, kind of around, you know, obviously Adam Scott, you know, I heard it there. And then here comes Lucas Glover, obviously just couldn't putt at all and went to your technology, the long putter, the broomstick, and then Will Zalatoris. And then Johnny Vegas, you may recall Grayson Murray, he won with your putter, Camilo Viegas, and the list goes on. And I'm thinking to myself, every time I hear Lab Golf, like people are putting better instantly, right? And so I reached out to you. I wanted to learn more about it. And of course, I went to your website and the whole bit. And, you know, we've kind of formed a relationship. So it's been awesome to work with you guys to get the putters in my hands, to use them, to try them out myself as an instructor. And I want to share some of those experiences with the audience today, which I have a little bit in the past, but even more so today. But before we get to those experiences, you know, I want to talk about the technology in itself, which is lie angle balance, right? And I get the question, I answer it the best I can. It's beautifully displayed on your website. But for our audience today, kick it off, lie angle balance. What is it with Lab Golf?
Well, first, before I answer that, thank you very much for having me on. This is really exciting. When we got all this going, you know, we had no marketing dollars. We had nothing. And so we really needed to lean on social media and word of mouth. And I've been watching your stuff for a long time, hoping one day we could work together. So this is a pretty cool moment. I've really enjoyed your content for a long time. So, lie angle balance. So, easiest way to say it is that the face stays square to the path on its own. There's no fight. Everybody at some point has, you know, taken the putter back and felt, you know, a wiggle, you know, felt the putter try to deviate from where we're trying to move it. That deviation is caused by torque. The way that putters are generally built, and conventional putters in the past, the way that they're built, you know, with the putters, you know, suspended at an inclined plane, it has a bias. In the case of face balanced and toe hang, which are, you know, two terms that we've heard throughout the years, they are both trying to open the second the putter comes off the ground, like the faces would prefer to just be flopping open completely. Where those two options differ is in the downswing, in the backswing. When you take them back, let me start over. Mm-hmm. A toe hang putter both of them, if you pick them straight off the ground in a revealer, you'll see both of the faces flop open. Where they start to differentiate themselves from each other is that a toe hang putter is going to try and shut on the way back and then open on the way through. A face balance putter is going to open on the way back and then just stay open. And then now, you know, presumably because of the success that some of these other companies are seeing that we've had, there's kind of a new category of toe up. And lie angle balance putters happen to be toe up, but they're not toe up. The toe up putters you're going to see out on the market are the opposite of toe down putters. So they try to open on the way back and then close in transition. Our putters do none of that. Our putters just stay square all on their own.
It's interesting because I think the perception is the opposite. Like when you go toe down, if someone says a toe down putter, like the perception is that it opens going back and closes, but it's actually the opposite. The toe down is actually wanting to close going back and open, right?
Totally. And when I started putting toe hang putters in revealers, it blew my mind. Like all of the aspects of sort of the common narratives around one putter being good for one stroke type or another, they never really made sense to me. And as soon as I started putting these, not that they didn't make sense, they didn't line up with my personal experience. Put simply, a toe hang putter, you know, at least on paper, was supposed to be good for somebody that had a deeper arc and a lot of face rotation. My performance statistics were the exact opposite. When I used a toe hang putter, those were my squarest strokes, shallowest path, least amount of face rotation, and then the opposite with, you know, a face balance putter. And then when I saw that a toe hang putter shuts as soon as you pull it back rather than opens, I was like, well, what is toe flow then? Like, what are we talking about when we hear that term toe flow? And it just showed me that I had some really deep misunderstandings of how putters work. And then, you know, with toe hang in particular, when I saw what they did, shutting and then opening, now what I heard, you know, great putters talk about, most of whom use toe hang putters, I understood what they meant. You know, you hear Tiger talk all the time about, you know, hitting mini draws and feeling like he needs to release the putter. That's because he has to. From a torque profile perspective, that putter's trying to open, and so he's got to give it a little extra gas on the toe side to make sure that the face squares up. That's why you hear people mm-hmm. talking about that feeling of release. All that goes away with a lie angle balance putter. There's no there's no little micro manipulations that need to take place through impact in order to square the face.
So the putter face in a lie angle balance, that face for the audience is staying square to the path. Right.
Correct.
And the path, I think we can all agree, is moving on a subtle arc, right? Like the old adage, I think when I got into instruction 25 years ago, it was like, well, the putter head moves straight back, straight through. It's like, well, how does that happen if the putter shaft's on an angle, right? I mean, if it was 90 degrees,
right,
you know, then okay, yeah, it would be a Ferris wheel, you know, spinning on the
vertical plane. You know what I think is at the crux of this debate of whether or not, you know, straight back, straight through is more effective than an arc or whatever? It's exactly the stuff that you're talking about. But visually, I think it's about what people are looking at. If you look at mm-hmm. the head mm-hmm. of a putter, you know, of a proper putting stroke, you know, like a beautiful on-plane stroke, yes, the head relative to the target opens and then closes. It's square to the path. But that's if you're looking at the head. If you're looking at the shaft, it looks like it goes straight back and straight through. So like if, you know, like one of my favorite devices is called the putting board, and I did a video on it that really sort of helps, you know, explain the differences. If the shaft on your inclined plane, like you just talked about, moves straight back and straight through, like on, you know, Hogan's plane of glass, that beautiful illustration of the plane of glass underneath the shaft. If the shaft moves perfectly on plane, the face is going to open and close. And if you had a laser beam pointed out the bottom of the shaft, yes, it would draw an arc. But the shaft is moving straight back and straight through.
Yeah. Talking to Sam Hahn, COO of Lab Golf. Check out the website, labgolf.com. Whoever designed your website did a good job, by the way. I enjoy it. And, nice. You know, I've been, you know, over the last couple of months, I've been sending people to the website because they're like, well, I want to get a putter. And I was like, well, you have to go to the website and go through, watch the video and go through the steps that they want you to do in order to send those specs in to get, you know, the right putter, right? Because it's very easy to do, and it's very informative when you go to the website to go through that experience. And I want to transition now to you know, some of the types of putters that you have. You have, you know, five different heads on the website. But I think, you know, it's interesting, like when I talk to people here in the studio and they say Lab Golf, you know, they, you know, they're golf fans, right? So they recognize Adam Scott. I think a lot of them recognize the improvement that has been made with Lucas Glover. I mean, I would go ahead and say he probably saved his career. You know, Will Zalatoris.
He saved his career.
I mean, you know, he saved his career, but I'm just saying, like that putter, I mean, make no bones about it. Make no bones about it. I mean, Will Zalatoris, look, here's a guy that had, you know, borderline the yips, you know, kind of goosing it. And I'm good friends with his coach, Josh Gregory. And I've talked a lot about Will's putting transition and what we've done. You should go back and check that out for those listening. We went deep dive on Will's putting. And, you know, he went to the long putter, the broomstick putter, with Lab Golf. And I know, you know, Will and Josh, you know, very well. But I think when people associate to Lab Golf, they think about that broomstick, right? And the success that you have had with that long putter and really saving a lot of these guys' career. What is it when someone goes to that long putter, you know, when they get fitted, like what's important there for the fit in that long putter? And what is it that, you know, they're feeling and sensing? Is there anything in addition to the lie angle balance? Cause I know that's a huge part of it, but it just seems like everybody that's going to this long putter with Lab is having great success.
Yeah. I think that, the technology that we have marries really well. You know, like we were just talking about, ideally all putter shafts, I'm not talking about the face, all putter shafts are moving on a plane, on a consistent plane. Mm-hmm. If you know, have a really flat lie angle, like 66 degrees, say, that inclined plane is, you know, more tilted. Therefore, even though the shaft might be moving perfectly on this plane, the face is going to effectively rotate more relative to the target. So when you have a really upright lie angle, like you see with brooms and Will, you know, whose putter is at 79.5 degrees, who actually sets it up a little heel up, so he's even more upright than that. The arc that they're creating is really shallow. So now you've got a face that's staying square to an arc and an arc that's extremely shallow. And, you know, these things marry really well together. Additionally, I think a lot of the reason that there's success happening on the long putter front is, number one, the stigma is dying. You know, it used to be that they were just for people struggling or just for people with bad backs or, you know, uber golf nerds or whatever. You know, you look at Adam Putt. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful motion. He looks cool doing it. And so, you know, I think that's part of it. Another thing, that is a really big deal is that when you have the hands that far apart, even though obviously you're not anchoring the top end of the putter, the top hand is effectively functioning as a, you know, a stabilizing point, an axis point. And now the motion is just one-handed. And if you think about every other action that we do that requires precision, throwing a dart, shooting a basketball, bowling, all of these things are done with one hand. It's very difficult to throw a dart with two hands, and getting them to match up, you know, in the same way every time. And so I think a lot of people, particularly who are good at stroke sports, who have, you know, hand-eye coordination that has them, you know, competent at shooting hoops or playing pool, are finding a lot of success with broomstick because the technique more mirrors that sort of stroke motion, that one-handed rolling a ball motion.
Yeah. You know, I'm playing some of Lucas Glover's putting strokes here. And then also we've got some still images of Will Zalatoris. And you and I were talking about a week ago. Let me see if I can pull this one up. It's not – there we go. You know, you and I were talking about a week or two ago about, you know, some of my experiences and coming through. And it's funny, like I look at myself with the long putter and I'm actually surprised how – well I've actually I thought I'd be kind of clunky with it. I don't know. I'm, you know, just for me and my own experiences, but I'm not. Like I've really have settled in and hit the center of the face. Like I'm surprised, like I'm very solid in the center of the face and hitting it. And what I feel, okay, is that the putter head works more, a little more up. And I have a tendency to keep the putter head too low and in. And I think a lot of people, when they putt, they kind of instinctively know I'm going to take it inside, but they keep it very low. They don't have enough up to the stroke. And so when I go to the long putter and I kind of get into the setup and then I engage that one-handed kind of stroke, like you were mentioning, it feels like the putter head just kind of, it swings up, the weighting's in such where I almost feel like, Sam, I almost feel like I just need to get out of the way. Like I just kind of work it up and then get out of the way and just let the putter go to work. Is that something you've heard in the past?
Specifically on it working up, no. My guess is, you know, because like you said, you've struggled with that. So it's probably a really deeply ingrained awareness that you have. But that would be a result of that access point that we were talking about where the putter is swinging. If you go back to your video there, you can see how little the handle moves, the top part of the handle. And so, you know, like if
I don't want to play for some reason, see if I can get it to play here.
Yeah, even if you go to the top of your stroke, you'll see how little the handle moved. And so, so even though it's this really long putter, it actually has a lower access point than using a conventional putter in a shorter length. And so, yeah, it's going to come off the ground a little quicker because it's on a, you know, a tighter axis. So yeah,
I've got Will there. You can see how little that moves at the top part, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's going to have the putter, sure, coming off the ground a little quicker, bottoming out and then coming back off the ground on the way through.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at kind of his setup there and some of the things that he's worked on with Josh and that ball position forward, kind of off that left ear, that left forearm, you know, they really want to keep it parallel, to the ground. You know, the one thing that you really have to do with that broomstick too, you can see that upper spine kind of getting leveled out. You can see the neck kind of turned down and looking straight down on it. And all these things, the left elbow pointing a little left of the hole, all these things, they just want to like engage it, just let it engage. And the putter head's going to work slightly up and in. When I say up, it's still coming in also, but it's working, you know, up and in, and then, you know, the putter head just kind of does the work. I mean, the putter face.
Yeah, you just drop it on the back of the ball. And, right. And I think that that's where, you know, like you said earlier, your expectation was that it was going to feel clunky at first or just kind of hard to manage. I think the reason people think that is because they literally only try it for 2 seconds, you know, like they'll go over and grab their buddy's long putter and it feels weird and heavy and it wobbles all over the place. The first stroke you make, you're like, eh, not for me. Give it like an extra 30 seconds. It's very easy to steady it. And the kind of next hurdle that people need to overcome, I think, is that they try to make it feel like a putting stroke. They try to make it feel like a motion that resembles what they've done with a conventional putter. And it's different. It's just different. It's a different feeling. Like you were talking about, as far as kind of just letting it go, you know, you really do kind of near a feeling of like taking it back and almost just dropping it on the back of the ball. You know, it's already in motion. It's heavy. It's just kind of swinging itself and you just let it do its thing.
So this one here, this one is more the conventional. This is just under 35 inches. And that's the DF3 the DF3. And from an instructional standpoint, when you think about if the face is going to stay square to the path, right, like you're talking about, and it doesn't have that toe hang, face balance where the face wants to open and close, all those things, then really my job as the instructor, as I get them set up, is, all right, let's create an environment at address. And then let's, in a way where when we power the stroke, the putter head's just going to move on a natural arc. And if I can get them to move it on a natural arc, well, the face is square to that, pow, right? Like it's almost like we don't have to worry about the face as much, right? We don't have to worry about the face. We just got to get them set up in a way and engage a stroke where it's going to be on the proper path.
Correct. And I think that, you know, at this point, you know, I've been involved 7 years. The technology's been out for about 10. And we've got buy-in from pretty much everyone in the world, with the exception of a few sort of putter guru holdouts. And I think that part of that is because, on the one hand, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to get your body organized, your hips, shoulders, arms, hands, everything on the putter in a way that makes it just easy to move the putter on plane. There are also all kinds of little micro manipulations that are taken into account when dealing with a putter that torques, that you're not dealing with when you're dealing with ours. And so These are very, very subtle changes. And I look forward to, you know, your progress, not only with your own putting, but that of your students, you know, and them sharing their experiences with you, because at some point we hear anybody who uses one of our putters sort of have some version of the same realization, which is that in the past, everything I've done with my grip, my posture, all of these things are all designed to keep the putter face stay square. And I needed to redesign everything so that I was coming from a place of letting the putter face stay square. So for instance, for me, like I see you there, you know, you've got the kind of traditional reverse overlap grip.
Yep.
I did too. I used to have kind of a pretty strong left hand. While I did that, the putter was up in my lifeline. That was a really stable way for me to hold the putter. It was a good way for me to hold it so that I could control it and steer it. I don't want to stay with lab putters. You don't want to steer them anymore. So all of a sudden, you know, my grip, you know, I started getting real strong with the right hand, started working underneath it. The left hand started working underneath it, and the sort of, you know, was a much more neutralized position. Those are my changes. Everybody's are a little different. But point being the task that you sort of laid out there that you have with your students of figuring out how to get them in a position where it's just easy to move the putter on a plane. Yes, that's the same task, and you get to do it without the added, you know, sort of difficulty of needing to organize sort of the micro muscles, the fingers, the hands in a way that is stabilizing rather than freeing.
Yeah. That's just it. I do feel like, that I get the setup right and then I engage it. And then it's almost a sense of, okay, now let's just get out of the way. Let's not manipulate. Let's not steer. Let's not goose it. And I think what was fascinating, and obviously Lucas is, I think, a poster child. I mean, he hit the bottom with what he was doing with this stroke, but you could start to see it with Will too. And that little hit and kind of, you know, almost kind of, you know, holding the face across and letting the face almost kind of glance across the ball, and he would catch it on the toe. There's almost a little bit of a goose in there at the very bottom, and that's gone away. I mean, like, you know, it's gone away now with your putter and your technology. You don't see him do that. And
my theory is that little wiggle that he used to have was just the way that his body had responded to the fact that the putter was trying to twist out of square the second he took it off the ground.
I think it's kind of fascinating. Like you look at this setup here, and here's another guy that's playing this week, Scottie Scheffler, and who's made some changes, you know, with his stroke and I think kind of rebuilt it. And I said, when I did the podcast at the time, I was like, if I was going to make some tweaks and rebuild it, this is exactly the way that I would set up to it. And I think Scottie's standing a little more upright now, than this, but, you know, you look at this setup, and I think our audience and our listeners can learn so much from just this setup right here, and then engaging the stroke. You know, the forearms kind of, you know, pointing a little bit more down the line, or down the putter shaft, the top of the wrists, you know, almost in a little bit more of what we call ulnar deviation, kind of unhinged, elbow soft, eyes, you know, just over, just inside, just like these are the things that. All right, you get these alignments intact, and now you get the shoulders engaged, and all right, now the putter head is going to move on a subtle arc, and you know that's kind of what you see from face on with my setup. And then if you really want to go, you know, into that forearm situation, you go into the arm lock, right? And that's when you really get those wrists and unhinged and ulnar, and now the shaft running up the line of the left arm. And I think you saw my post. I took all three putters, conventional arm lock and the broomstick. And I posted it on my Instagram. I said, which one do you guys like? And the arm lock won. And I got to tell you, Sam, and this is no disrespect, it's the one that felt the worst to me. You know,
oh, it feels the worst to me.
Yeah. The arm lock, but yet it was probably 75%. They were like, yeah, you look really smooth with the arm lock. There you have it.
Yeah, I mean, that gets into, like, what, you know, I mean, look, before, you know, to your listeners, you know, you and I had a little conversation before we hit record on this thing, and, like, what looks good or even what shows up as, you know, your best option on some measuring platform, whether it be Capto or Quintic or anything like that, doesn't necessarily mean it's the putter you're going to make the most putts with. You know, for instance, of our lineup, I actually apparently make the best stroke with a link. I have a really hard time making putts with a link out on a golf course. And the arm lock, you know, it does solve a lot of problems. I mean, as far as, you know, the relationship between the handle and the head and, you know, that stuff is certainly good. My issue with arm lock is, you know, going back to all those stroke sports, you know, when you're shooting a basketball or throwing a dart, like everything's really soft. You know, the wrist is soft. The muscles in your fingers and your hands are really soft. There's no way to lock a putter against your forearm without tension on the outside of the forearm, pushing it, you know, kind of against it. And as soon as you introduce tension, my personal experience and certainly, you know, checks out with a lot of what I've seen is that you're doing so at the expense of touch and some of the nuanced micro muscles that we need to use in order to perfectly judge speeds. Now, is that universal? Like, not even close. Of course not. We've all seen Bryson, you know, fill up the world with an arm lock. Matt Kuchar's made God knows how many millions of dollars with an arm lock on both arms.
Right.
So it's a perfectly acceptable technique. It's just not my personal preference.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's certainly, I think there's more sticker shock to go into arm lock than there is with the broomstick. I really do. I think once you kind of learn how to kind of get set up and go, I think there's less sticker shock there. Then you brace it. To me, that feels
awkward. Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. The broom is surprisingly natural. People, like I said, you know, that if you only give it 5 seconds, it's not going to feel natural. If you give it 30, it's like, oh, this is just like ball rolling. This is just like tossing the ball on the green with my right hand.
Yeah. It's, I think you guys are in a uniquely positioned in a great spot. I do think the long putter, and obviously it's not the long putter that is the major difference here. It's your technology. It's the line angle balance. And that works on any putter, conventional, you know, arm lock or broomstick. So the technology is in itself is fantastic. And people are now discovering that and coming to you and putting better. And we've been seeing that now for years. But I do think the broomstick is going, the stigma's gone. I think you're gonna see more of it. You're seeing young guys now winning, big events with it. And so I just don't see why that market share just wouldn't continue to grow. I just don't.
I wouldn't. We don't anticipate it. And we didn't set out to be the broomstick company. We aren't, like, relatively speaking, sure. You know, everybody saw Lucas. People have known about Adam for a long time. So there's, you know, a bit of an association right now. But we certainly didn't set out to be the broomstick company. What happened was very early on in the company's, the early years, you know, the only head we had was the Directed Force 2.1, which is, you know, a satellite dish. It's one of the world's ugliest putters. And, but there was a lot of function associated with it. So the super duper function over form folks, reached out to us. And these are the same type of folks who are down to try a broomstick and down to try arm locks and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, when we didn't have a lot of business, you know, early on, we're like, sure, we'll make you anything. And so that sort of forced our hand on prototyping and doing research and development on long putters. And then when we started working with Adam, that's where it really went into overdrive. I mean, here's a guy who, you know, had been using it for a long time, had used it in all forms, all weights, all lengths, slightly different lies. I mean, he was, you know, really the authority on how to use these things because there isn't a lot of curriculum around broomsticks, or long putters. And Adam had a lot to offer. So, having, you know, at the time, I mean, he was pretty much the only tour pro we were working with on a consistent basis. And so, having him in our ear on what we could do to make these things better, I think just made it so that we simply, our long putters are just simply better. I mean, not even the lie angle balance technology, but any number of issues that people have had with broomsticks in the past, we've sort of solved for.
Yeah. Adam Scott right now, last 24 rounds coming into the President's Cup. Third in putting in the field of 24 right now. He's rolling the rock right now. Fourth in the tour championship. You guys got, can you share with us? Cause kind of the future of lab golf and where we're going, Adam Scott's part of that. I mean, what would you say are the things for my audience to kind of look forward to as we, you know, new year 2025?
I think starting here in about a month or so, you're going to see, knock on wood, a few more big names switching over using it. You're also going to see some new product. So we're going to be releasing Oz One probably early next year. Not fully decided on a launch date yet, but you know, like I was saying a minute ago, just all the work that we've done with Adam. At some point, I don't remember if it was him or me or whatever, but we were like, "Why don't we design a putter together?" And solve cool. for all of this. It's awesome. It was such a cool experience. And he's a different cat. He, you know, for those of you that, you know, follow WRX and that whole scene, I mean, you see, he tinkers a lot. I mean, he, he's got a lot of golf clubs. To his credit, he's not just a collector. He uses them all. He works with all of them. He goes really, really, really deep on technology, and he understands it. There's a lot of pros that frankly don't want to understand it. They want, you know, they want to have a fitter that they trust that says, this is what I should use, and then they just go use it. Adam is very different and really is a major, major tech guy. And, you know, consequently designing a putter with him was a dream. I mean, it was just awesome. He had some visions on shape, some of the technical things that we wanted to solve for, and we've come out with an amazing putter.
Yeah. I think for the audience, you're kind of listening to this, you're thinking about your putting. There's different levels of struggle, right? There's different things that can cause issues in putting. We know that, you know, there's a lot to it. It's not just the stroke itself. It's, you know, the speed in which you're hitting it at. It's how you're reading the green, et cetera, et cetera. So, but you know, if you're someone who I think does struggle with face, right, and you find that you do have all this, a lot of rotation in the face, and you're struggling in the face looking down the target line, and you want to try something different, you know, I think this is certainly an area that you should consider, you know, and I've had that conversation with a lot of people over the last couple months of learning about lie angle balance and talking to him about, hey, look, you can just do it from a conventional standpoint. Like, this is not a discussion of you have to go to a broomstick. This is
go to the website. No, it's going to help anyone. Right. I mean, yes, like you said, particularly those who struggle. What I would say is really interesting that we're starting to see out on tour is that, yeah, for the most part, the guys that we had the opportunity to work with are guys that, you know, had fallen outside the top 100 in strokes gained putting and, you know, we're kind of looking for something different. Now we're starting to get really competent putters starting to take a look. And that's been really cool. And similar to, if you look at like the sort of the evolution of the long putter, you know, is a good example of kind of the same thing where, they were really only used by people that, frankly, that had the yips, you know, that were really, really struggling to make a putt. And then you started getting somebody like Adam, who, despite what people think about, you know, his putting, he's an exceptional putter and has been for quite a while. Yes, he's improved with, you know, since using lab, but even prior, he was still a very competent putter. Sure, he might have missed the wrong putt at the wrong time, but statistically speaking, he was great. And so here's a guy, you know, who already had incredible skills, you know, switching over to our technology and finding benefit from it. But yeah, for those of you guys out there that are struggling, something happened to me in my journey on this, putter where I only realized after the fact I had approached putting before sort of assuming that my putter was staying square by itself. I didn't really think about it. I didn't really think about toe hanger face balance too much. I knew the narratives or whatever, but I know that when I'd have a really bad day putting, I'd go to the putting green afterwards and I'm like, okay, if I just relax and I keep my hands soft and I just rock my shoulders, in theory, the putter should just arrive back at square. Only, you know, now do I realize that just wasn't the case. So I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people just kind of want to swing the shaft and hope that the face finds its way home. And if you use our putters, that's exactly what happens. So it can be for most people, it is absolutely plug and play. They start putting better instantly. For some people, they experience what we call the torque hangover, where, and particularly the better the player, the longer we've gotten better at sort of expediting the hangover. But before that, you would see guys take a long time to really shake off all of the little micro manipulations that they used to have to make in order to square up the face. And because the putter swings so differently, it's like kind of weird at first, and the putter feels vague and you kind of don't know where it's at. And it takes a second to get used to all that, to get used to the fact that you really just need to swing the tip of the shaft down your target line. The face is going to end up where it needs to be.
Yeah. For example, if you've in your old stroke, you feel the need to close the face a little bit more, and then you go to a lab, you might hit some poles, right? Because you're used to having to close the face more. And then all of a sudden, all right, you kind of work that out because you don't need to close the face, right? Because the face is already square.
Totally. That's exactly what I've worked on, or not what I've worked on. I mean, what Phil has noticed in his experience with putters is that he doesn't use exactly this language, but in order to accommodate,
Phil as in Phil Mickelson.
Correct. Yeah. In order to accommodate, his very high torquing opening putter blade, he does take it back a little shut and then sort of lets it work open on the way through. And so, swapping that over to lab, has been a journey. He's had some success with it and then not so much at times, and currently back on his blade just because he's been, so successful with it for so long. But that's been really interesting, that whole process and that whole journey of his watching it and how difficult it can be to drop some of these moves that we make in order to accommodate torquing putters.
Yeah. So for those that want to try it, learn more, right? You send them to the website. How does that walk them through how that journey and process should go?
Yeah. So we've got, a very cool process that makes this whole thing really easy. Again, early on, we didn't have the luxury of being available at stores or country clubs or anything like that. But it was also really important that people got fit, particularly with the 2.1 head, which is so big. If you just, if you're somebody that's, grips the putter in the fingers and their hands are really low and you go and grab a stock DF off the ground or off the rack, you're liable to scrape the heel on the ground. I mean, it just won't fit properly. So, we have what we call a remote fitting. It's super duper simple. You're going to email in, or actually don't email it anymore. I forgot we changed that on the website. Now you just click on the button for fitting at the top of the homepage and you'll see instructions for the remote fitting, which basically comes down to you making like a 5-second cell phone video, of you hit, making a few strokes in a particular, environment with, some specific stuff happening in the background. And then we send you back your specs. Most of the time, we try to stay, true to the fact that we are not instructors. They are fitters. So, people are sending in, their posture as is. And we encourage that. A lot of times we get the only times that we have misfit issues when people are like, okay, well, this is a camera. I'm sending this to a person, so I better make the stroke that my, instructor wants me to make, which isn't actually comfortable for them in a lot of cases. And right. So they'll get this putter that isn't them in their most, comfortable position. We work really hard to make sure that the people that are sending in these videos are doing so like stand however you want to stand. Screw everything you've ever heard about how you're supposed to move a putter. If this was the last putt you were going to hit in your life, just be as comfortable as you possibly can, and then we fit the putter to that stroke.
It's easy. It's very easy. I mean, I've been through the process.
It's super easy and it's extremely accurate, accurate. I mean, I think a lot of people are sketched out at the idea of last time I went for a putter fitting, it took 90 minutes and there was gizmos and gadgets and this and that. You're telling me 5 seconds on a cell phone video and you've got a custom fit putter. And the truth is, yes, it's in fact how we fit most of our touring professionals.
Wow. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I'm hoping that you mentioned some other name. I hope Justin Thomas kind of takes a peek at this. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there.
No. I think he has a pretty deep loyalty to Titleist. He's been a Titleist kid since he was like 8.
I know, but I'm just saying, we're getting to that point here of the struggle is real with the plastic. Anyway.
Well, I'm sure Scotty Cameron's going to have some watered down version of our putter here soon enough.
Oh. Well, that's I'll let you fight that battle. Well, this is it's fascinating, and you know, like I said, you know, I'm you know, people who follow me, I'm a pretty straightforward guy, and like on, you know, what works and what doesn't. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of fluff out there, right? And I think in smoke and mirrors, but I literally, as I'm following the tour and I'm, you know, integrated with the industry, it's like, man, everybody that's going to these putters putts better. And it's not like it takes a month. It's like instantly, like these guys are putting better. And it's not just guys.
I just want to put out there, I think what we see when they, you know, actually start performing with it. Yeah. Now they're showing up on TV and it looks like it just happened instantly. Particularly at the tour level, they do need a minute. You know, like the guys that we find fair very enough. Little success when they when they grab the putter off the bag on Monday or Tuesday and put it in play that week. We see way less success than when we send it to them when they've got a couple of weeks to screw around with it. But yes, once when they make the commitment, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I don't. No, and so you know, there's a lot of proof there, and I've seen it. You know, with the amateurs too. I have a stick. You know, a little thin stick here on the putting green. And, you know, it's about that long and you put the ball in one end and it's like the old ruler, right? Like you have to putter, right. you have to, if the face is dead square, that ball goes right down that ruler and it's pretty long. And so every time we do an event in here, we make people, they have to hit, we do nine holes, we have different holes, but then the back nine is they have to hit nine putts down this ruler. And if it goes all the way down the ruler, there's a hole at the end of it. And so it's difficult, right? I mean, like it's difficult to hit nine putts down that ruler and have that face dead square. It's been done twice, and both times, Sam, this is no lie, both times with a broomstick lab putter. Both times. I'm not kidding you. One of them, his name is Mark Rutland, who is a good friend of mine. And
oh, I know Mark.
That's one of them. Yeah, he loves
it. Yeah.
Loves it. Okay. He's one of them. He did it. And in a second was a lady that had your putter. I mean, I'm talking, this has been done thousands and thousands of times in putters the last 2 years. And two times it's been happened, nine putts down that one, both times broomstick, lab putter.
Love it.
True story. So on that note, Sam, what'd I miss? Anything you want to add? You got some new stuff coming out. You mentioned I can't wait to see that with Adam Scott, and of course Adam Scott's in the field. Ben on both have your putters this week at the President's Cup, and sounds like things are good. You guys are doing well, and it's cool to be a part of what you guys are doing. And it's awesome to have your putters in here and sending people to your site because I know they're getting a great product, and I know they'll putt better.
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I mean, we covered a lot of ground here. Other than just to share my excitement, you know, I've been out on the interwebs with my revealer and, you know, trying to preach the value of this technology. We got to a point where, you know, anybody who would be listening has already seen me, and it started, you know, it became really clear that it's important that people start hearing about the value of this technology from other people, from reputable sources like yourself. And in addition to, you know, getting that validation from folks like yourself that this stuff really does work, we're still discovering it. Like we're still learning about the best ways to use these things. You know, we're still looking for new perspectives, new ideas on how to beat that torque hangover, all this stuff. And so to have you, you know, in your studio screwing around with these putters and, you know, texting me feedback and things that you're noticing, it's just going to help us make a better product. And so, I'm so excited to be working with you, and, we should do this more often.
Yeah, we will. So, Sam Holmes, CEO of Lab Golf. Thank you for your time, man. Keep up the great work. And I look forward to, seeing you in person, right? Probably the PGA show in January, right? Is that,
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be there.
All right. Thanks for your time, man.
Thank you.